if we take these materials together, they add up to a faith, they add up to a religion with a few very basic requirements. A few very basic requirements. The first of these, people had to make al-Islam, the surrender to Allah. One must surrender oneself completely to Allah. A person who has made al-Islam is Muslim, or as we say, is a Muslim. Therefore, Muslims are people who have made al-Islam, who have surrendered to Allah. So there is the first central sort of religious doctrine. Now, to capture the essential requirements, then, of the Islamic faith, the surrendered faith, the faith of surrender, the faith of an individual surrender to Allah, we usually speak in terms of five pillars, five sort of fundamental things that a Muslim, someone who has made al-Islam, must do. These are, in the first place, a profession of faith. Here is the creedal statement of Islam. There is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is his prophet. If you say that three times with a pure heart facing Mecca, you have made al-Islam. You are Muslim. Now, we saw, for example, when we were talking about Christianity, that there was, in late antiquity, a very considerable battle over identifying a creed, a basic statement of faith. And the Nicene Creed, for example, of the Christian churches, is a very long document. But in Islam, it's very brief. There is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is his prophet. This is fundamentally what one must believe. The other elements of the five pillars have to do with practice. Now, this is interesting, too, because you recall perhaps when we talked about the Ten Commandments, we noticed that the first group bear on the relationship between a believer, a Hebrew, and God, and the second group bear on relationships among the Hebrews. So there is obviously a parallel here with Muhammad, with the five pillars of Islam. So, the second pillar, fasting. Especially during the month of Ramadan, one 30-day period every year when there must be fasting from sun up until sundown. The idea of asceticism, the idea of emptying oneself, the idea of practicing sort of rigorous personal and thus religious discipline. Now, we saw in Christianity there were, in a certain sense, professional ascetics. We talked about monks. For Muslims, everyone must practice an element of asceticism during one month in every year. In the second place, prayer. Five times daily, facing Mecca, one will sometimes see devout Muslims anywhere in the world on a number of occasions during the course of the day, lay down a prayer rug, orient themselves towards Mecca, and pray. And if at all possible, these prayers on a Friday should be carried on in a mosque, a Muslim house of prayer. In the fourth place, among these pillars of Islam, alms. Generous almsgiving. Now here we have an element of Muhammad building a responsibility for the community into his faith as well. The idea then that those with much should give something on behalf of those who have little. Finally, there was the idea that once in one's lifetime, if at all possible, one should make a pilgrimage to Mecca. Now, in connection with this pilgrimage, it's interesting to ask whether this might have been, on Muhammad's part, a concession to those Meccan elites who had been, in the first place, very much worried about the impact on the city of Mecca of his new religious teachings. Well, obviously, he is maintaining here the old traditional pilgrimage to Mecca as a key element of his new faith. So, five pillars. There is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is his prophet, as a statement of faith. Five pillars, then, as a way of maintaining that faith in practice. What we have, then, is a faith of orthopraxy more than of orthodoxy. Now, those are two big fancy words that fundamentally mean that in the Islamic world, great stress was laid on what you did, how you behaved, on your conduct, more than on your intellectual assent to an elaborate set of doctrinal teachings. Indeed, for a long time, there really were no professional theologians in the Islamic world. For a long time, there was nothing like the church fathers. There were no popes in the Islamic world. There were no bishops in the Islamic world. There was not a clergy as there was in the Christian tradition. Or, for that matter, when we think of the learned rabbis and of the temple priests among the Jews, even among Judaism.